Sunshine, that's why I praise you. Oh, the grace. Hallelujah, my God. You are Alpha and Omega. We worship you and give you all the glory. We give you all the glory. We worship you. You are Lord. And you are worthy of our praise. And we thank you for these moments we share with you. In the sweet name of Jesus. Amen. Let's sing a little bit of that Alpha and Omega. Yeah, that's it. We worship you. Our scripture today is a familiar story. really the kind of end of the familiar story. First Samuel 17, beginning with 41. Meanwhile, the Philistine with his shield bearer in front of him kept coming closer to David. He looked David over and saw that he was only a boy, ruddy and handsome, and he despised him. He said to David, "Am I a dog that you come at me with sticks?" And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. "Come here," he said, "and I'll give your flesh to the birds of the field, birds of the air, and the beasts of the field." David said to the Philistine, "You come against me with sword and spear and javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will hand you over to me, and I'll strike you down and cut off your head. Today I will give the carcasses of the Philistine army to the birds of the air and the beasts of the earth, and the whole world will know that there is a God in Israel. All those who gathered here will know that it is not by sword or spear that the Lord saves, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give all of you into our hands." As the Philistine moved closer to attack him, David ran quickly toward the battle line to meet him. Reaching into his bag and taking out a stone, he slung it and struck the Philistine on the forehead. The stone sank into his forehead, and he fell face down on the ground. So David triumphed over the Philistine with a sling and a stone. Without a sword in his hand, he struck down the Philistine and killed him. That's the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Your neighbor, downsizing a giant. Downsizing a giant. You know, this familiar scripture, I heard it, experienced it differently this time around.
Yes.
You know how you can read something over and over, but the next time you look at it, you hear or see or experience it in a totally different way. That's what happened. All of a sudden, I could hear the Philistine, could hear his voice talking about how David took him down. Imagine if the Philistine could be present and we had the ability to interview, hello somebody, the Philistine.
Yes, Lord. Yes.
What would the Philistine say? From the Philistine's point of view, Why was he downsized, defeated by David? Well, how about this? David took me down because, first of all, he didn't believe that there was any bite behind my bark. He didn't see me as being larger than life, but rather saw me on the same scale as himself. I was insulted. When he actually came like he was going to get in my face, no military experience, no armor, nothing. Graduated from no academy. I was insulted. And I said to him, "You must think I'm a dog. Based on the way he approached me, I realized that he thought I was nothing." He was non-threatening in his appearance, and that took me off. And I'm so accustomed. I realized afterward that I had gotten so accustomed by defining my power based on who was scared of me, to the fact that he didn't budge. I didn't know what to do with that. The whole army was paralyzed for days, and they had graduated from the academy. The whole, all of them would line up day after day after day, and all I had to do is just show up, look at them, and say a line to them, and that would hold them in place. This kid shows up and won't give me my props. Oh, my God, my God. Acted like I was just selling wolf tickets. I got so hung up in him till I actually forgot what I had going on for myself. I got so caught up in him, I forgot about my strength, I forgot my strategy, I forgot about my mind games, I forgot about the whole thing, and actually looked to my gods and asked them to curse David, in other words, to hit him hard so I could come behind and just wipe up the mess. I called on my gods to curse him. That's how bad he messed my head up. It didn't even dawn on me that this is a child. I can take him out anytime. In spite of me calling on my gods and still trying to stare him down, that boy refused to back up. Instead, He said to me that he was coming to me, not with the weapons I dealt with, but he's coming to me in the name of the same God who had been absolutely silent and still in backing up the army I had been intimidating. Now, isn't that ridiculous? I thought the boy was crazy. I couldn't figure out why he would come to me and say he's going to defeat me because he's God, the commander and chief who has turned a blind eye to his own men who have been out here day after day. He's going to pull that on me? I thought it was impossible. But the boy wouldn't back down. Then after that, I'm moving closer to him. And as I'm moving closer to him, getting ready to move closer to him, he says to me that my success isn't determined by me, but my success is determined by this same God of kids who's been doing nothing to back his own people. He told me that the battle belongs to his God when I haven't seen any evidence of his God doing anything. Isn't that ridiculous? I thought so too.
Yes, Lord. Yes.
I thought so too. And then, when I started really moving toward the boy,
right,
he starts running toward me. He doesn't back up. He starts bolting in my direction. Then he takes up his toys. Takes up his little stuff. Throws one thing, one little stone, and it hit me. He aimed right at my forehead. And even though I had my armor on, he took me down. Oh my God. What am I saying? You know, if we want to downsize a giant, we have to remember that the giant's bark is always worse than the bite. That the giant may have experience, the giant may have size, the giant may have power, but every day God sends a giant somewhere is brought down because the giant underestimates the strength of those coming towards him. If you want to downsize a giant, you don't ask for the giant to give you permission. You don't ask for the giant to give you a voice. You don't ask for that, no, because you understand that whether or not it looks like the ones who are backing you up namely God and the host of heaven. It may look like God has been up to nothing, but God, y'all don't hear me, God who's backing you up is the one who has already outlasted other giants. And the God who has backed you up, just like it looks like God ain't saying nothing, doesn't mean he doesn't know anything. Oh, my God, my God, my God, my God. Let me put it like this. Let me put it like this. You know, when I was a little girl, my grandmother, my mother's mother, she was a, you know, I enjoyed her. My other grandmother, well, I enjoyed the one, more so than the other one. So my grandmother was over the house. At that time, I was probably about 6 years old. And I was playing in my room, and had my little dolls and everything. And, you know, this is one of my favorite stories. I had a little bookshelf, just a little tiny bookshelf, just a little tiny. And that bookshelf, that was my sofa. And I was having so much fun, I wanted my grandmother to sit on my sofa with me. Now, why did I ask my grandmother, who was fully grown, to sit on a little tiny bookshelf, just one little thing which I had set on the floor? In my mind, my grandmother was my size. Y'all don't hear me. In my mind's eye, she was interested, she could be close to me, and she was willing to come. Oh my God. Yes, yes. We have a God who has already been in our shoes. Yes. We have a God who knows what it's like to walk where we have been, where people are out to intimidate. Yes. He knows what it's like to live in an impressive environment, and Jesus came down to our size to fellowship and be with us and sustain us. And whenever any giant comes our way, our God is able to stand up and take that person on. Take him on and take him out.
Yes, Lord. Yes, yes.
You know, if we would read more history, we would be more encouraged.
Yes, Lord. Yes, yes.
Well, we'd be more encouraged. Let me say one last thing, and I'm going to sit down. I was speaking not long ago with a nurse who is in a high-risk pregnancy, does high-risk pregnancy work, you know, and that kind of thing, and done been a midwife and so forth and so have you, and does high-risk pregnancy. That's what you do all full-time, high-risk pregnancy. That's right. And so I was talking to the nurse about heads, babies' heads. Nothing else to talk about. It's babies' heads. And the nurse explained this to me. The nurse was, I was asking about the difference between births. The nurse explained to me that when a baby is born, oh, help me somebody. When the baby is born, a natural birth, the baby's head is actually formed. Y'all don't hear me. Shaped as it's shaped by the pelvic bone. As the this is what the nurse this is what the nurse told me. But they said with cesarean they got and bring it out like that. I thought on that thing. And so the nurse explained to me that for the babies with the cesarean, if you touch the head in the front, there's a soft spot. Yes. So literally, if somebody said your head is hard, it might be. All right, now, but here's my point. Y'all, just stick with me for a second. I said, really? And the nurse said, yes. Talking to me about this shaping and this head and what is missed if the baby does not come out. You understand what I'm saying? I see a nurse shaking her head, yes. I said, I see you shaking. I'm putting a camera right on your face, honey. What is my point? For our purposes in this moment, David's stone. What if David's stone, for our purposes metaphorically, sunk in a space where he hadn't been developed? When we are developed, not only want to be developed in our hearts, but developed in our minds, when we allow God to birth his mind in us, his attitude, when we allow God to transform and change our thinking, God shapes us in a way that when life hits us, we're not taken down, but instead we're able to stand tall because our minds are fixed, our minds are made up, our hearts are determined. We realize that the battle is not ours, but the battle belongs to God. We realize that God will never lead us where he can't keep us. We realize that God is a mountain mover. We realize that God is a sustainer. We realize that Jesus is a present help. We realize that Jesus has already faced every foe and gone to Calvary and paid it all. Not only for my sin and your sin, but for all the giants. And God wants to save the giants.
Yes, Lord. Yes.
God wants to save all the giants.
Yes, Lord. Yes.
Because every life belongs to him.
Yes, Lord. Yes, yes.
I'm so glad today.
Thank you.
Our God is awesome. Yeah. Hallelujah! He's awesome! Our God is awesome. He not only changes hearts, but if we would let him, he would work with our minds. He would work with our thinking, our decision making, our motivation, our attitude. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. It starts by submitting to him. If you're here today, come on and stand with me. It starts with your decision.
Pastor walks the aisle. We thank thank God for his word this morning. But now we are in that decision-making moment. And if you have not accepted Christ as your Savior, then this is the time that God is giving you that opportunity. The day that you hear his voice, make that decision. Harden not your heart. This is a new year. Many of us have said we're going to do certain things. The most important thing God wants you to do is make a commitment to live for him. Won't you come today?
Awesome. My God is awesome.
He wants to be the Lord of your life, not just your Savior. So if you don't know him as being the Lord of your life, make that commitment today. Lord of that tomorrow.